Of Luke. I'm reading from the 18th chapter, starting with verse 10. Luke 18, starting with verse 10. I would ask you to pray with me this morning. The only thing worse than this heat that we've been having is to have a cold in the middle of this heat. I've got a summer cold, so y'all pray for me this morning. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to the house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I want to try to preach a sermon that the Lord has laid on my heart today. And I've entitled, Justified or Dignified? Are you justified or dignified? Amen. You pray with me. Father, I thank you, God, that you have chosen to allow us to come to this place today to worship you, Lord. I thank you, God, for the presence of your Holy Spirit that has already been manifest in this place today so many ways, God, we can't even name them all. Lord, I thank you, God, that we assemble together in love, Lord, to worship you. And God, I pray that you'd be in the midst now and do, Lord, as you would do, God, whatever your will would be through this sermon time. Speak the hearts, Lord. God, I know that you've already been speaking the hearts, Lord. It's no accident that people are here today that are here. God, you made an appointment, Lord, for them to be here to hear this word today. Now, Lord, hide me behind the cross, I ask. God, that Aaron's not seen. Lord, but that your will and your way and your love is seen here today, God. And Lord, that the lost would be saved, the cold at heart would be drawn back, those seeking decisions would know the decision to make. God, just whatever we need in our lives here today, God, Lord, I pray you'd grant it. And God, for that one that's come into this place, thinking nobody cares for me, Lord, show them that you care, Lord. For that one that's come into this place, Lord, just as confused as they can be, Lord. God, give them clarity of mind, Lord. Touch their life today and change it radically, God. Lord, I just pray, God, that you would just move in this place. That one that come in lost, let them leave saved, Lord. And God, use me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Many times in life, we encounter people that just don't get it. In other words, the obvious eludes them and they don't have a clue. Now, who are you thinking about? Don't say me. No. Sometimes folks just don't get it. The obvious escapes them and they don't get it. I want to share some examples with you. These are true quotes that I'm going to give you of people that just didn't get it. Thomas Watson, chairman of IBM, 1943, said, and I quote, I think there is a world market for maybe 5 computers. Just didn't get it, did he? Ken Olson, president, chairman, and founder of Digital Equipment Corporation, 1977. There is no reason anyone would want a computer in their home. Just didn't get it, did he? I like this one. Western Union Internal Memo, 1876, quote, "This telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. The device is inherently of no value to us." David Sarnoff's associates, in response to his urging for investment in the radio industry in the 1920s, they said, quote, "The wireless music box has no imaginable commercial value. Who would pay for a message sent to nobody in particular?" Just didn't get it. A Yale University management professor, in response to Fred Smith's paper proposing reliable overnight delivery service, Smith went on to found Federal Express Corporation. The professor quoted, "The concept is interesting and well informed, but in order to earn better than a C, the idea must be feasible." He just didn't get it. I like this one. Gary Cooper, on his decision not to take the leading role in Gone with the Wind, quote, "I'm just glad it'll be Clark Gable who's falling on his face and not Gary Cooper." Didn't get it, did he? I like this one. We don't like their sound, and guitar music is on the way out. Quoted by Decca Records when they rejected the Beatles in 1962. Just didn't get it. Admiral William Leahy, U.S. Atomic Bomb Project, quote, "The bomb will never go off. I speak as an expert in explosives." Didn't get it. Dr. Lee DeForest, inventor of the vacuum tube and father of television, "Man will never reach the moon, regardless of all future scientific advances." Just didn't get it, did he? And this is my personal favorite, and this is the last one. Charles H. Duell, Commissioner, U.S. Office of Patents, 1899. Listen to this quote. "Everything that can be invented has been invented." He just didn't get it. As you can see, history has been filled with people that just didn't get it. But none are quite so sad as the person that just doesn't get it in regards to salvation and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In the story I've read and you're hearing today, we see a story of two men and their personal relationships with the Lord. One got it and the other one didn't. Amen. In our day and time, some get it, but sadly, others just don't get it. Now I want to take an in-depth look today at that Pharisee and that publican. The difference in the two is that one left dignified and one left justified. Now I'm going to tell you something this morning. Right here at Roper Heights Baptist Church, there are Pharisees and publicans gathered in this place. Did you hear what I said? I said right here this morning, there are Pharisees and publicans that have gathered in this place. Some are going to leave here this morning dignified, but glory to God, you can leave justified. Amen. And it's up to you how you leave this place, dignified or justified, and it's up to you whether you'll get it or not get it. Amen. Well, glory. Now, that probably hurt some of your feelings to know that there's Pharisees in this place. But I'm telling you, there is. In every church across America today, regardless of their denominational flavor, if they got their doors open this morning, they've got a congregation in there. Newsflash, they got some Pharisees in there. Some that think they're a cut above everybody else. Somebody that thinks that their theology, it just don't have a flaw to it, and what they do, why, everything's just right. I got news for you. There's none righteous, no, not one, and all of our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. Well, glory. I want to try to touch on two things this morning. I'm going to tell you, number one, how to leave here dignified, if you want to. I don't know who would want to, but if you want to, I'm going to tell you how to do it. And then how to leave justified. Verse 11, A said, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Note, this doesn't say that he stood and prayed thus with God. Rather, it said he prayed with himself. Now, I'm telling you something. If you want to leave here dignified today instead of justified, you just love yourself more than you love God. You get stuck on you and think that your sun rises and sets in you. And I tell you, you leave this place dignified today. I'm going to tell you something. The sun don't rise and set in me. I'm glad I figured that out. I'm glad that I know that there's only one God. I'm not Him. Jesus is His Son. He's my Savior. And that's the way to salvation. Well, amen. Glory to God. The hardest person to win to Jesus is the person who's justified within themselves of the lifestyle that they're living. I've said it a million times, you got to get somebody lost before you can get them saved. Because there ain't too many folks that think they're just all right in what they're doing. They've let everything else take the place of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I've preached this a million times too. Then listen, folks, it doesn't matter about your church membership. Doesn't matter. Well, glory, amen. It doesn't matter how often you come to this church. When you close your little eyes in death and mark it down, it's coming for all of us. The only thing that's going to matter is if you've been born again. Amen. I get so sick of preachers and churches that are pushing their philosophy, their doctrine, and they're saying, this is the most important thing. Come be a member of our church and you'll be all right. I don't care what church you're a member of if you got Jesus Christ in your heart. And if you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart and you die that way, listen to me, you're going to bust hell wide open. Oh, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, the door's open. You can leave. Amen. Well, that was one. Y'all praying for me? Amen. Well, glory, we are all righteous when we view our lives through our own eyes. Ask me about it and I'll tell you I'm the best fellow that ever walked. Man, I like me. I'm one of my favorite people. Now, let me back that up. I probably am my most favorite person. I'd rather be around me than anybody else I know. How about y'all? But listen, we look at ourselves through our own eyes, we'll leave here dignified. Because we all think that we're somebody. Amen. Everybody in here is just glad you ain't as bad as somebody else. Y'all get that on your way home. We're always right, and the other person is always wrong. When we sit in judgment of ourselves. If I got to judge me against you, guess what? I'm going to be right and you're going to be wrong. Amen. Don't believe that? Ask my wife. Well, look, we can always explain away our actions when we defend our actions to ourselves. Boy, have I got a story for you. Man, I can tell you one that long when I'm defending my own actions. How about you? But let me tell you something. All that's part of being dignified. When you get justified, you realize you're nobody. You have no defense for your actions. And you cry out to Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Well, glory. You see, when we judge ourselves, we just don't get it. It's not what we think ourselves to be that matters. Are you with me? But it's what God thinks us to be. Well, amen. What about when we stand before the great judge of the universe? He has already taught us in His Word that there is none righteous, no, not one. And He taught us, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind has taken us away. He has also told us, are you listening? And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's what God says. He also says that Jesus told Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now listen to me. Are you listening? Dignified people don't get what I just preached. They don't get the fact that their righteousness is as filthy rags. They don't get the fact that they must be born again. They bought into this thing that if I'm a member of the church or I'm a member of the denomination, if I'm giving my money when the plate comes by, then I am all right. I'm a good person, Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm true to my spouse. Lord, I work hard every day. Lord, I provide for my little kiddies. I don't beat my wife. I don't beat my children. Or some of you don't beat your husband. Oh, I'm a good person. But none of that matters. Are you listening to me? The thing is, have you been born again? Now, you're going to make a decision this morning. If you have not been born again, you'll either leave here justified by being born again, or you leave dignified by not being born again. That's hard preaching, ain't it? Well, preacher, I'm a good person. I do right by my family. I do all these things. You listening? Hell's going to be full of good people. Amen. People that did right. But they all of them that's going to be there, failed to do one thing. You know what it was? To have the blood applied to the life. But what can take away my sin? That's right. What can make me whole again? Oh, precious is the flow. No other fount I know. Some folks just don't get that. It's too simple for them. Some folks say, well, preacher, hell ain't a real place. It's just a state of being in the mind. It's a figment of the imagination. Everybody knows when you die, you just go back to dust and it's all over with you. You know what? Go ahead, Mr. Dignified. And you keep right on believing that. And when you get to hell, I want you to explain that to the rich man who lifted up his eyes in hell, a real place, being in torment in the flames, begging for one drop of water to be placed on his tongue. You just don't get it. Oh, I don't believe in that hell stuff, preacher. Are you listening? You can die and go to hell and never believe in hell. Because it don't matter whether you believe in it or not, it's there. Amen. Well, preacher, when I stand before God, I think He'll take my circumstances into account, and I'll be all right. Go ahead, Miss Dignified. Keep right on believing that. But the Bible said, whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It didn't say anything about my circumstances or your circumstances. If we want to play pity party, I'm better at it than anybody in this building. But pity parties don't get you nowhere. It's have you been born again? Oh, I've had it tough all my life, preacher. Well, glory to God, somebody give you a lollipop. You think you're the only dog named Rover? We all have it tough. But that just don't cut it, honey. It's have you been born again? Well, glory, and they just don't get it. Preacher, I just don't believe in that born again stuff. Go ahead and keep believing that, Mr. Dignified. But Jesus very plainly told Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to him by night, a great teacher, and said, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Boy, you know, it hurt my feelings when I read that. You know why? Because it didn't say go down there and hear Aaron McCullough preach at Roper Heights. Boy, that's what it ought to say, shouldn't it? Everybody knows you go to Roper Heights, hear Brother Aaron preach, you're going to be all right. Well, yeah. It didn't say come down to Roper Heights and listen to Bo Herta sing. And everybody knows if you come listen to Bo Herta, you're going to be saved. Right? No. Oh, I know. It said, the Lord told us, says, Nicodemus, you become a Baptist and you're going to be all right. Ain't going to be enough Baptists in hell to have an association. Amen. They can have a Southern Baptist convention in hell. Amen. Being a Baptist ain't going to save you. What did Jesus tell Nicodemus? He said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. What does that mean, that born again business, preacher? It means there must come a time in your life that you realize you are a sinner. You were born in sin. You live in sin. You die in sin. But you must have a Redeemer who paid the sin price for us. For the wages of sin is death. That Redeemer was my man called Jesus, who died on a cross of Calvary, and 3 days later came up victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and is one day coming to take me and you to a place called heaven. And we got to realize we are lost without him, and that we must have him for the Redeemer of our sins. Amen. How does that happen, preacher? It happens when you realize that you're in that condition and you make your way to Jesus. It can be on the side of the road. It can be out in the woods by an old tree stump. It can be down at this altar. It can be at your kitchen table. It can be on your job. I don't care where it's at. But when you come to that point, you realize I can't do this on my own. And if I die this way, I'm going to hell. And when you begin to realize that, your dignity will start slipping away. Yeah. Because you see, I done been both sides of this thing. Are you with me? I've had dignity get a hold of me. I've had it get a hold of me, and I've sat up here and said, well, I'm the preacher, bless God. I don't need to be doing this or doing that. I don't need to act that way. Huh? Then I've had times when the Lord would get a hold of me in spite of me, shake me like a little rag doll. I'd go to squalling, hooping, hollering, running, turning cartwheels, having fists, lose every bit of my dignity. But I'd rather be justified than dignified. But I've sat in the seat of the dignified. I've been the Right Reverend Aaron McCullough. Pastor, preacher, teacher, hoping I'm the main feature. I've sat there and I've puffed myself up and got real dignified. You know what happens when you puff yourself up and get real dignified? There's some jerk standing around somewhere with a straight pin. And they'll pop your dignity. And now you floating around all puffed up. And somebody sticks that pin in and you go. Oh, God. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. And you lose half a bit of your dignity. Huh? Amen. You get all puffed up in that dignity in church. And boy, you know how to do everything right. And I'm good. It's coming up and it's going to come out. You got your these and your thous just right when you pray. Boy, you do everything just right. Don't it tickle you? And I don't mean this to hurt anybody's feeling. Some folks, when you call on them to pray, you want, they automatically go into old English. And Lord, we thank thee that thou hast blessed us today, and that we and thee and thou, and they get it all just right. Boy, they dignified. But you let something happen in their life. You let them get a call from the emergency room. Say, we got your child here, your mama, your daddy, and we don't know if they're going to make it or not. Let me tell you something. They start praying then. They don't pray in old English. And they don't pray proper, but they cry out like that old publican did. Woo! God, be merciful to me. I need you. Now you sit in this place today. You can be dignified if you want to. Puff yourself up and say, well, I got my little family and we all right. And we come down to the church and we do everything just right. And we're real dignified. Honey, I wouldn't give you a hoot nor a holler for that. But tell me you've been to the foot of the cross. Tell me the blood has been applied. Tell me you know who Jesus is. That's what I'm interested in. Woo! Well, I done about preached myself well. Glory! I'm glad that when God got a hold of me, He saved my dignity. My dignity got born again. I don't fit in a lot of circles anymore. And let me give you a real news flash here. I don't care! Woo! These preachers won't invite me to come preach because I get too radical. A lot of them, if they get saved, they get radical too. See, you can't have happen to you what happened to me and stay like you was. Hello? I was walking down the road just as lost as a goose on my way in the express lane to a devil's hell. Hell bent on getting there before the day was over with. But listen to me. Somewhere along the way, I encountered Jesus. And when I encountered Jesus, everything changed. The way I walked changed. The way I talked changed. The way I acted changed. My friends changed. Let me tell you something. Unless you got all Christian friends, you can't get saved and keep the same friends. What fellowship has light with darkness? None. I'm going to tell you something. I even acted different after I got saved. I thought different. Everything was different. And I know some of you are sitting there saying, if you're that crazy now, what was you before you got saved? I was worse than this, but I was still on the wrong side of the fence. I thought joy come out of rock and roll music, drugs, alcohol, illicit affairs. I thought that's where joy was at. But let me tell you something. That's just the lie of the devil. Where joy is at is in getting at the feet of Jesus and having His precious blood cover your life and coming away radically different. I like being this way. Folks don't never know what to expect out of me. I got news for you. I don't never know what to expect out of me. You think it's a revelation to you to sit and hear these sermons, you ought to hear them from this end. I said, what'd you say, fool? Yeah, you did say that. Listen, folks. I like to just cloud up and rain Jesus all over folks. Amen. Sitting around, got the mully grubs come in smiling and laughing. I said, what's wrong with him? He's got a bad case and he can't help it. I love Jesus and I just can't help it. Amen. Well, glory. I want to preach all day. Will it be all right? Amen. If you want to be justified, love yourself more than you do anybody else. Get hooked on yourself. Now, I tease and say that I like me, which I do, but I know who Jesus is, and I know who number one is. And I'm going to tell you something. Are you listening to me? When you get right with the Lord, you'll like you too. But I promise you, I'm going to come hoeing your pee pants now. I promise you, in a congregation in this size, there's folks sitting in these pews, you really don't like yourself. If I was carrying around the garbage you're carrying around, I wouldn't like me either. Bless
Woo! But listen, I ain't never preached this before. This is original. When I got saved, the garbage man showed up in my life and he took it all away. And his name is Jesus. I don't have that garbage anymore. It's gone. Oh, and I'm going to tell you something. He didn't spray potpourri to cover it up. But when he came waltzing into my life, the sweet smell of the rose of Sharon began to permeate through everything that was in me. And I don't stink of the garbage anymore. But I have a sweet smelling savor of the Lord in my life. Glory to him. Woo! And I'm going to give you a little twist on some scripture. The scripture says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I'm going to tell you something else. Whom the Son has cleansed is clean indeed. Well, glory. It's tough to preach like this when you're fat and don't feel good. The second thing, and I'll just close with this point and try to get this because you're already on overtime. And I know how y'all hate to pay me time and a half for preaching over. Verse 11, the second part of it, the Pharisee says, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as this publican. You want to leave here dignified today? Then you embrace class separation. Think you're a better class of people than somebody else is. Mr. Justified Pharisee placed himself in an entirely different class of people than the whole world. Listen to what he said. He said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not as other men are. You know what that meant? He was saying, I'm the only one in the world that's right. Everybody else is wrong. Now, I thought that way myself a few times, but I was wrong. Y'all get that on the way home. Amen. But he thought himself to be better than everybody else. Now, listen. He gave a few examples of how he was better than everybody else. And then he put that old Pharisee, a publican, right at the bottom of the totem pole. Underneath the extortioners and the adulterers and the unjust, he put the old publican. He thought the whole world is going to hell in a handbasket. And I'm the only one that knows what's going on. I'm the only one that's justified. Listen, folks. Are you listening to me? I want you to know that Mr. and Mrs. Justified Pharisee are alive and well in Roper Heights Baptist Church today. There's folks in this place that think they're just a cut above everybody else. Oh, you wouldn't never mention it to anybody. You wouldn't never tell him, but you think it. Oh, well, oh, sorry, so-and-so's coming down to the church. Well, I wonder what they're doing down there. Well, they're probably coming just to make you feel better. No. They're coming to get their heart and life right with Jesus. And that's where they ought to be, is in this place. You know, well, preachers, they's drunks that come down to that church. Yeah. Well, preachers, there's adulterers that come down to that church. Yeah. There's, woo, horror of horrors. There's even hypocrites that come down here. Can you imagine hypocrites being in the church? I'd a whole lot rather than be here, hearing what they're hearing this morning, than to be out in the world ingesting that garbage. All across America, folks are embracing this class difference. White folks are saying, I'm glad I ain't like them black folks. Black folks saying, I'm glad I ain't like them white folks. Church folks saying, I'm glad I ain't like them sinners. Sinners are saying, I'm glad I ain't like them church folks. Come on.
Brother Aaron is saying this morning that we're all alike anyway.
Amen.
Because every one of us are just sinners in need of a Savior.
Amen.
You see, we're all nappy sinners.
Amen.
In the eyes of Jesus.
Amen,
ain't no big eyes and little U's in there. Boy, this thing's just a news flash coming in. Y'all go with me.
Come on,
are you listening? You ain't got anything on anybody. I don't care who you are.
Right.
Don't care what your station in life is. Don't care what you look like, what you act like. You ain't got nothing on anybody.
Amen.
If you die without Jesus, you go into hell.
Amen.
And we need to all realize that this morning. Now, you can get mad at me for preaching this way. You can sit there and say to yourself, 10 more minutes and we out of here and I don't have to hear that junk no more. And you can be absolutely right. And you can leave justified or dignified. You can leave dignified. But you better make sure you leave justified. Because only the justified are going to heaven when this thing's over with. And it could end now. Just one sign that immediately pops into my mind. Bible says in the end days you won't be able to tell one season from the other. Have you ever seen it like it is now?
Right.
No, you hadn't. It could end now.
Right.
I want you to come back tonight because I ain't through with this thing. I ain't got to the good part yet. I'm still over on the dignified part. I want to get to the justified part. Well, that's where I am. I'm justified. Not by my merit, not by my good works, but by His grace, period. Now, I want to know this morning. Now, I said something. I preach what God's given me to preach. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. You're either one class or the other this morning. You're either a Pharisee or you're a publican. You're either dignified or you're justified. You sit there in that pew this morning, you know what you are, dignified or justified. Now how are you going to leave? Dignified or justified? If you're going to leave dignified, let me tell you what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to ignore everything I just preached. You're going to have to ignore the Holy Spirit working on you. You're going to have to listen to the devil when he says, well, you don't need to go forward to that altar this morning. Everybody will laugh at you and you'll make a fool out of yourself. You got to listen to all that and believe it. And you got to listen to the devil and say, well, he wasn't talking to you. He was talking to somebody else. Believe that if you want to leave dignified. I got news for you. Are you listening to me? I was talking to you.
Amen.
Amen. Whoever you are, dignified or justified. Another thing to leave in dignified, you're going to have to leave over my prayers. Because I'm praying right now in my heart that you won't leave dignified. I'm praying right now that the most dignified person in this church will just lose every bit of the dignity you got in this altar call. I'm praying you'll make an idiot out of yourself for Jesus.
Amen.
Just be a babbling lunatic when you leave here for the Lord.
Amen.
See, because that's the only way you're going to make it in, is lose that dignity and get a hold of the justice that Jesus meets out. You're going to leave dignified or justified? It's up to you. It's up to you. Would you bow your heads with me? Dignified people care what their peers think about them. Dignified people care about what somebody's going to say about them if they obey God. Dignified people don't want to admit they've got a problem. Never one of us in here have brought a truckload of problems in with us. You sit there and make like you ain't got them if you want to, but I know you got them. Dignified or justified? Boy, what a question. Dignified or justify? How are you going to leave? I mean, in this place right now. I'm not coming to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. You've got my word on it. All I'm going to do is pray with you. How many would slip your hand up and say, Brother Aaron, you're talking to me, son. Pray for me that when I leave today, I'll leave justified. Would you slip your hand up? Wherever you, amen, 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 amen. Any others? You're talking to me, preacher. Pray that I'll leave justified. Father, you've seen the hands that have been raised in this building today. God, I simply lift them to you. I pray, God, that you'd move in this altar call time. God, I pray, Father, for that one that's lost, if there be any here today. God, that you'd just help them to lose that dignity and get saved. God, if there be those who are cold and indifferent, help them to lose that dignity and make their way back to you, God. Lord, if there be those who are standing in the valley of decision, God, help them to lose their dignity and get right with you, God, that they might hear the answer. Oh, Lord, in this altar call time now, have your way, Jesus. Amen and amen. Altar's open for any reason.